Praise references. Praise word comes from the book of Matthew, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. It doesn't seem like a Christmas text, but you will see why it is a Christmas text. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Reading from the NIV version. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people from one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Amen. We all know Mother Teresa. She founded the Missionaries of Charity, a Roman Catholic religious congregation, which now consists of over 4,500 sisters and is active in 133 countries. Members of the order must adhere to vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience. And the fourth vow, to give wholeheartedly and free service to the poorest of the poor. The Missionaries of Charity, at the time of her death, had 610 missions in 123 countries. And they include hospices, homes for people with HIV, leprosy, and tuberculosis, soup kitchens, family counseling centers, and orphanages. Over 45 years on the streets of Calcutta, Mother Teresa ministered to the poor, the sick, orphan, and dying. And she was the recipient of many honors, including 1979 Nobel Peace Prize. She refused the ceremonial banquet given to laureates, and she asked that the Nobel funds be given to the poor in India. So we see that her life was dedicated to the poor. Now, once Mother Teresa said that when you look deep into the eyes of the people on the streets, she said that you could see Jesus in them. Now, what was she talking about? Isn't Jesus supposed to be in heaven, not on the streets of Calcutta? Isn't Jesus seated at the right hand of God? But Mother Teresa saw Jesus on the streets of India. Jesus first came to earth as the subject of love. He was the one who gave love. He was the one who showed what love is. Jesus preached the good news to the poor, and He showed what true love is. He healed the sick. He freed people from the bondage of evil spirits. He welcomed women and children, and He welcomed sinners and tax collectors. There were days when Jesus didn't even have time to eat. He was so busy healing people. Ultimately, Jesus demonstrated God's love in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And as a substitute of love, Christ gave away all that he had. But now, Jesus is among us, not as a subject, but as the object of love. It is true that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, but at the same time, Jesus is here among us. Jesus is here on earth. And he is here as the recipient of love. The King is among his subjects in disguise. After Jesus showed God's love for us, now it is our turn to show our love to God. In today's parable, both the sheep and the goats were surprised by God's standard of judgment. God judges people by how they have treated Jesus. God judges people by how they have shown love to God. The sheep ask, "Lord, how have we shown you love? We thought you were up there with God." And none of the people recognized Jesus on the earth. And this is an important question. How can we show love to God? We show love to God when we abandon our idols and serve Yahweh only. Yes, that's true. We show love to God when we give ourselves and our offerings to God in worship. That's one way, that's true. Absolutely. But to that question, God gives an unexpected answer. God replies that you show your love to God by loving your neighbors, especially the needy ones. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you have done unto me. Apostle John says in 1 John 4, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." And again, in First John 3, he says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" So you love God when you love your neighbors. You welcome God when you welcome strangers. When I was in high school, I spent most of my summer vacations playing tennis with my brother. I'm not that good, I never got on the tennis team. And reading novels. I was really into these classical novels, and I loved Russian literature. So I read Dostoevsky and Tolstoy. And I actually read those thick books. Brothers Karamazov, thick. Crime and Punishment, thick. Anna Karenina, which is the movie of its release. Another thick book. I read that. And War and Peace, the mother of all books. War and Peace, right? Besides Bible. Thick this book. And I actually read all of them. I love novels. Not the cliff notes, right? The novels. You know, these Russian writers, they love writing these big, long, thick novels. But, you know, they also wrote these short stories, a lot of short stories. And in regard to Tolstoy, what left a deep impression on me were not these thick novels, but these short stories. And one of them was called The Old Shoemaker. And these days, there's a lot of different versions. They're all watered-down versions. But I think still, the original is the best. Now, Tolstoy was not a New Testament scholar. He was not, he didn't know any Greek, I don't think. He was not a commentator of Bible books. But I think Tolstoy may have written the best commentary on today's text. And he did that in a simple story. And let me just briefly summarize the story. In a small Russian city, there was a man, an old man named Martin, and he was a shoemaker. He lived and worked in the basement, and he was old, and he didn't have a family of his own. And during the day, he would work on mending shoes, and after dinner, at night, he would read his Bible by the candlelight. One night, he was reading the Gospel of Luke, and he came across the story of Simon the Pharisee and the woman who washed the feet of Jesus with the expensive perfume. And so Martin thought, I am just like the Pharisee. I am like Simon. I have only thought about myself, how I can achieve, be warm and comfortable. I didn't really take care of my customers. And who was the Pharisee's guest? It was the Lord himself. If Jesus had come to me, how would I react? And as he thought, he dozed off and he fell asleep. And he was suddenly awakened by a voice. The voice said, Martin, Martin, who's there? Who are you? Look tomorrow on the street. I am coming. Martin did not know whether he heard a voice in a dream or in reality. He wondered about the voice and fell asleep. And the next morning he got up, he turned on the stove, and he put on his samovar, which is the Russian tea, and also a cabbage soup. That's the typical Russian food, right? And he sat by the window to work on shoes. And he saw people pass by, some soldiers and other people pass by. But he noticed one person, and it was a man. And he knew that man. It was Stepanich. An old man who was shoveling snow, and he got tired, and he was resting. And he looked really cold and tired. So Martin goes out and he invites Stepanich into his house. And he serves him tea. And Stepanich noticed that Martin was looking outside, and he kept glancing. So he asked, are you expecting anybody? He said, well, I had this dream. And he told him about the dream. And Stepanich didn't say anything. He finished his second tea and said, well, brother, thank you so much for your kindness. And he left. So Martin sat down and he began to stitch. Some more people passed by. And this time he noticed one woman with a child. And she was poorly dressed in summer clothes. And she was trying to keep the child warm. So Martin went out and said, woman, why are you standing in the cold? Please come in and keep yourself warm and your child. And he gave her some tea, and he learned that they haven't had food since morning. So he gave her and her child cabbage soup. And she was wearing the summer clothes because just yesterday she had pawned her coat for food. And they were on their way to a relative to be cared for. So Martin gave her his own coat and also some money to redeem her coat. And as the mother and the child left, the mother thanked Martin and said, the Lord bless you. And later in the afternoon, he saw an old lady carrying a big bag and a basket of apples. And there were just a few apples left. She had sold them at the market and she was on her way back home. And then he saw a boy trying to steal one apple from the basket. But he was caught in the act and the old lady was threatening the boy, I'll take you to the police. Martin went out, he intervened, and he asked the boy to ask for forgiveness. And the boy did. Martin paid for the apple and gave one apple to the boy. And the granny goes, well, you will spoil the child that way. He needs to be whipped so that he can learn his lesson. And Martin goes, that is our way, but that is not God's. If this boy is to be whipped for an apple, what do we deserve for our sins? And the woman was silent, and she was about to lift her bag when the boy said, granny, I will carry it for you. I am going the same way. And off they went, talking together. That night after dinner, Martin opened his Bible as usual,
But he opens to a page where he did not insert his bookmarker. He was thinking about last night's dream when he felt like someone was in the room. So he turns around and he notices that several people are standing in the dark corner. And a voice comes to him. "Martin, did you recognize me?" "Who are you?" "Me, it is I." Stepanich steps forward, and he smiles, and he fades away. "Me, it is I." Steps forward, the poor woman and the child. They smile, and they fade away. "And this is I." Old woman, and the boy appears. They smile, and they fade away. Martin was filled with joy. He looked down at his Bible and read these words. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Martin realized was not a dream. Jesus had really come to him. Martin had received the Lord. Now it's Christmas time, and we sing this song, right? "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room." It's true, we need to prepare our hearts to receive the King. Jesus, who came first as the subject of love. But how do we receive Jesus, who came as the object of love? How do we receive Jesus, who is here, as the recipient of our love? Now, receiving Jesus on earth requires our action. We receive Jesus when we welcome, when we receive and care for the poor, the homeless, the sick in the hospital, the imprisoned, the unpopular worker in our workplace, or the unpopular kid in our school. We receive Jesus when we share food and medical supplies to the people suffering in Syria, North Korea, and other parts of the world. We receive Jesus when we become sponsors of children in the poor parts of the world. Receiving Jesus requires our acts of love, acts of kindness toward our needy neighbors. And we are to demonstrate such love not just during the season of Christmas, but throughout the year. And when we do so, our hearts will be filled with Christmas joy all throughout the year. Shall we pray? And as you pray, I'm going to ask the servers to come up and get ready for the Lord's Supper. Let's just, in silence, pray to God that we would love our neighbors, not just in words, but in deed. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for inviting us to your table. Pour out your spirit on us, on these elements, so that we may commune with you. By your spirit, unite us to Jesus Christ and to all the baptized believers. In your name we pray. Amen.